An online classified site does not seem to be the stuff of Hollywood drama. Then again, Craigslist is not your average posting site. For about 8 years now, Craigslist has provided users across the nation with a free, non-commercial space to find a used futon, a new significant other, a sitar player for your jazz fusion group, or a flash mob planning to crowd a local hotel lobby. It was that sort of eclectic mix of subjects that convinced filmmaker Michael Ferris Gibson to make a movie about the San Francisco area posting placed on one random day. 24 Hours on Craigslist is now in post-production. It will debut later this year. The movie's producer, Michael Ferris Gibson, joins us now from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you very much. And of course, for you listeners, we'd like to hear your stories about Craigslist. What was the most unusual posting you ever saw? Give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And Michael, for those of us who have never used Craigslist or seen it, explain that. What makes this site so different from other online classifieds?
Well, I think what makes it so unique is really the fact that there's no real censorship to it. There's no kind of monitoring of it. So when you place a post here, I mean, it's free, first of all, which is kind of, you know, a miracle when you go online, and there's no banner ads or anything on the site, and you can pretty much post for just about, you know, anything that you can think of. So there's everything there from, you know, the main things, you know, that other human beings really, you know, are into, which are personals and, you know, the housing, and also the job market, you know, is there. But really there's all sorts of other things, too. And that's what kind of that's what got me into it the most, is I was actually procrastinating using the site. I was working on my latest greatest screenplay. And what I found was just actually cruising there. There's just so much to see, and that people are just, they're just kind of fascinated in all the things that they want. So it just sort of struck me that, well, you know, someone should make a film from this. Just take a random point, and you know, there's sort of a best of Craigslist, and there's all the success stories, you know. Things that really that work out. But what I really wanted to do with this film is to capture it, just, you know, the way that you can find it at any given moment, because that to me is sort of, you know, that's it's fascinating.
Given the universe of human needs, and since you say this is uncensored, would it be a good idea to let your average 10-year-old browse through it?
I would say in certain sections, certainly. I mean, certain sections are for kids, but there are other sections where there are warnings and, you know, disclaimers and saying you should really be, you know,
mature readers, I think is the phrase you're looking for. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. For a more mature kind of audience. And there are things that come out, you know, in my film. I want to create a realistic, you know, a portrayal of the site. I didn't want to make it, you know, like a TV commercial and people can go there and, you know, oh, it's so wonderful and it's great and it's going to save the world. I really wanted to show the site exactly the way that it is, because I think it does reflect a certain side, you know, of our whole society that comes out, especially when you go onto the internet and you know, you can do whatever you want. What are the things that are going to manifest themselves? And some are good and some are not so good. So it's really a balanced view, I feel.
As I write this email, says Mick Sander in Portland, Oregon, I've just returned home from picking up small kids' table and chairs, which I purchased on Craigslist. We posted an ad in the wanted section and were very surprised at how many responses we got, not just from people with tables to sell, but some with advice on where to go and what to look for. These people were offering advice for no gain other than friendliness. I guess why it's called the Craigslist community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That definitely is true. There's something is about when you put up the site and it's totally free and they're not trying to sell you anything, and there's no, you know, there's no pop-ups and there's no kind of banner ads, which are just so kind of prevalent now whenever you use the internet, that this just is such a feel-good sort of an attitude to it, you know? And, you know, you can go on there, and there were so many people that there's actually like a wonderful little section called free, and it's just free stuff, you know, of people that want to give away their things. And it's like, you know, baby food or doors or chairs or all different kinds of things. And, I mean, you could really, you know, I mean, you could really build a house out of that whole section right there, I mean, if you wanted to.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Chris, who's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi.
I got a kind of a funny story about Craigslist. We were looking for a house to rent in Portland, and we came across this ad for it was a four-bedroom, old-style Victorian house with TiVo and a wet bar, modern kitchen and everything, and it was only $250 a month to rent. And,
in Portland?
In Portland, yeah. So, of course, my fiancée was really quick to call up the number, and there was a message machine, and we got our message in there, and she called back a couple hours, and the mailbox was full, so obviously, you know, tons of people had seen the ad calling her up. We called the next day, and there was a new message on the machine, and the woman said that, unfortunately, there was no house for sale, that it was a big hoax, and someone had tried to get revenge on her for some reason by posting this ad on Craigslist about this beautiful house.
Ah, I see. So in that sense, Michael Gibson, you know, a little editorial control might have been a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been a good thing. But, you know, to be fair, we found lots of different places on Craigslist, and the place that we're looking at right now was through Craigslist.
Okay, so you once burned, you weren't twice shy.
I'm sorry?
Never mind. Thanks for the call, Chris.
You're welcome.
That's definitely true. I mean, there are things that happen like that, pranks and you know the like. But I'd say for every dark sort of story like that, where someone's kind of messing around with someone else or anything, you're going to get, you know, 1,000 stories where things actually work out. You know, like where people find, you know, the perfect place that they were looking for, or you know, whatever. And you know, we do have some things in our film where things didn't quite turn out the way that people, you know, had wanted to, but you know, I think that's all part of it. I mean, it's all part of what actually goes down.
Now, you decided to use the postings of August 4th of this past year for your movie. How'd you pick that day?
It was a random day. Actually, Craig himself actually picked it. We had about 90 days, and I put them on little pieces of paper, and put them all, you know, in a hat, and I gave it to Craig, and I said, okay, now just pick one random day, and he pulled it out, and there it was, Monday, August 4th. So we had about, it would have been better if it was a little bit later, because we only had about 2 weeks to get all the crews together, and, you know, the sound crews, and you know, the post-production staff. But actually, we went on to Craigslist, and we found the whole crew, all the sound crews, in about 3 days, actually. Hmm. And it ended up being 8 different film crews that we sent out, and we got them all from Craigslist.
Did you go visit everybody who posted that day?
No, because in San Francisco, this film actually only covers the San Francisco site, actually. And, of course, now Craigslist is in, I believe, 35 cities now across the world.
San Francisco is where it started.
Yes, yeah. It started in 1995. So it's really a common thing here, you know, in the Bay Area to use it. I mean, and about, you know, halfway through the film, you know, I sort of realized, well, it's like making a movie about the plumbing, you know, because it's such a common thing, you know, that everyone uses it, you know, for all different kinds of things, that it really became this kind of, you know, like a symphony of the city, sort of a, you know, like sort of a film where we were just going into, you know, stuff, you know, wealthy people's places up in the hills, you know, and then also just, you know, really kind of, you know, the not so nice parts of parts of the city too, you know, where people were, you know, kind of barely scraping by. And so it really is a spectrum of everything that goes on.
We're talking with Michael Ferris Gibson, producer and director of 24 Hours on Craigslist. He's with us from San Francisco. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And as you went around and visited some of the people who posted on that August 4th, what are some of the best stories?
Well, they're all pretty good in their own way, but I will say that some are a little more colorful than others. I think my personal favorite story is, well, the post was just drag rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, well, what is this? And so
Sisyphus,
you know,
was on Craigslist, yeah.
No, it's not that. Yeah, along those lines. But so we show up to this guy's house, and we walk in his place. He looks like a fairly kind of a normal guy. And we start to talk to him, and he says, well, I'm putting this band together. And it's kind of a power rock band. And we play like Led Zeppelin songs and, you know, Steppenwolf and kind of, you know, those kind of 70s bands. And he's like, but I don't sing as myself. I sing as Ethel Merman. And then he just immediately busted out and was like, it's been a long time since I rock and roll. It's been a long time since I did that story. He does this Robert Plant of the Ethel Merman thing. And it was amazing. And I just started laughing right there. I said, this guy's, you know, the star, you know, I mean, you know. In a way, and he's a really wonderful performer. Mark Sargent is the guy's name, and we sort of followed up on that one, and we got him actually forming his band together and doing all the rehearsals, and you know, picking out his wigs and you know, all the different outfits that he had, and then it actually culminated about 2 months later at the Castro Street Fair, where he performed live in front of thousands of people. So that was a pretty interesting story right there.
Yeah, but just reminding us that there is indeed no business like show business. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Carolyn, who's with us from San Francisco.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. So I am obviously in San Francisco. I've been here since 1999. And, of course, I know Craigslist. But what I wanted to say is that you say the maker of the movie says that it's great because everyone uses it. And on the contrary, what I would say is what was great about Craigslist is, of course, he didn't advertise it at all. It wasn't, so you only heard of it through word of mouth. And there are still a lot of people who do not know at all that Craigslist exists. And I use it, I'm a parent here, and I use it to find childcare providers for my children. And it's really neat because there's this sort of trust, just because it's only people knew about it through word of mouth. There's this sort of trust when you post and when you read postings. And I've found childcare providers or people to share care with so easily because there seems to be something in common with the people that go on Craigslist. And I think it's a little bit too bad that, I think it's great that it is a good idea to do a movie about it, but I'm almost, a little sorry that it's going to go out into the public like this because it's going to lose a little bit of its intimate and of its sort of a very special aspect to it.
Yogi Berra's old line about nobody goes there anymore, it's too crowded.
Exactly. Or it's also that, everybody's there now. It's not like only this little community of people who sort of heard about it through word of mouth. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, Caroline, we'll get a response from Michael Gibson.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand your point, but also at the same time, the whole thing about the Craigslist community is that really there's so many things that are on there. I mean, there's 23,000 posts in a single day, you know, so it's already been, you know, discovered. And that's just here, you know, in the San Francisco kind of place. But I also feel that, when you use it, you're so specific as to what you use it for. I mean, generally when people post, we had someone who was there for, you know, a diabetic cat, a support group. You know, she had this cat and she wanted to form this group around it so she could, you know, wouldn't have to take care of it so much. And she got it. And in some ways, the more people use it and the more people discover it, the more they realize that no matter what your need is, no matter how obscure or strange or kind of odd, you're going to find a community that, you know, that's around you, you know.
But just another question. How does Craig, is Craig going to be in the movie for one? And does he, what was his reaction to making a movie about it?
Well, that's an interesting point, actually. We did film Craig. We did these interviews with him. And originally we saw him as kind of like, you know, this sort of a narrator figure. You know, that he would lead us along through the film. But what we discovered was that it was more compelling to have the community itself actually kind of lead us through. And also, Craig, I mean, it's really wonderful what he's done, but in the end, he doesn't have too much to do with what, you know, goes on. I mean, like I say, there's tens of thousands of posts, and there's only 12 people, oh no, 14 people, you know, that work there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the reality is they don't have too much to do with it. It's really just a service, you know, that's actually provided.
Yeah.
And another thing about the whole Craig thing in the film is we discovered the vast majority of the people that actually use the list don't know if there really even is a Craig. So that became one of our points as we went around to people. We ended up covering about 140 stories, and most people didn't know that Craig was there.
Right.
So,
Caroline,
thanks
very much for the call. I'm afraid we're running out of time and we have to let it go. Regrettably, we have another caller on the line we don't have time for who says she met a guy who advertised for a herd of goats to eat gingerbread. Well, another story from Craigslist. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, I will thank you, Neil.
Michael Ferris Gibson is producer and director of 24 Hours on Craigslist. Coming up soon, He was at KQED. This is NPR News.